what we do is not the purpose. It's the purpose is so internal, and it's like it comes out, you'll see it, you know. I feel like we have callings and we are on assignments, because you might be at the right place at the right time to talk to this person that saves their life, that helps them, that transforms them. And so I believe there's different purposes for one particular person's life.
You're listening to Flow Insider, a podcast for creative entrepreneurs who want a fresh perspective on business, communication, and art.
Hi, Raquel. Good morning.
Hi. Good day.
Oh, it's actually not morning, right? Where you are right now. Where are you, by the way?
I am in Atlanta on the East Coast.
Ooh, Atlanta. That's been heavily in the news. How are you doing?
I am doing pretty good. Just staying afloat with all that's happening in the world, and just keeping busy, making sure I meditate and stay sane.
Yeah, I bet. Well, it's so nice to talk to you today. I'm really excited about it. And I'd love if you could give us an introduction first for everyone that is listening and wants to know, like, who is Raquel? You wear a lot of hats. You're a writer, you're an actress, you're an artist. Can you tell us a little bit about where you come from, your journey that led you to where you're now?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I love having conversations about life, so I'm really honored to be a part of this lovely podcast with you today. Awesome. My name is Raquel John. I am a painter, actress, and a writer, but that wasn't always the case. Starting out when I was younger, I was bullied right up until high school. So I was very quiet. I was very shy. I was very timid. I was all of those things. I really didn't have a clear sense of self, and I wasn't confident at all. I was very, very not a confident person. I had self-esteem issues. And so with going through that, being bullied, I had to learn how to be my own friend. I had to learn how to stand up for myself. I had to learn how to find my voice. And during that alone time, that's what took place, along with my family being a support system for me during that time, because as a child, there's a lot to unpack. And so right up into high school, I fell in love with painting, and I stumbled into it. I took the art class as an elective, and the teacher noticed my ability to create designs and how I would see the patterns and how I placed them on the paper. And so she said, you have an eye. You should apply for AP art. I was like, what is AP art? Like, I didn't know that there was, like, you hear AP lit, AP history, you know, and I was like, AP art. And so I said, okay. So I applied and I got in, which was very surprising to me. I said, okay, cool. So I took this art class. I was in AP class for about 2 years of high school, right until I graduated. And then, of course, I did the thing of just going to an art school. I didn't get into the college that I really wanted to get into. I applied 3 times and they said no. And so,
happened to me too. No big deal.
So I was like, that was so frustrating. And that took, honestly, that took a lot out of me. I really felt, I felt confused. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had my eyes set on this college. I made sure my portfolio was top of the line. I made sure that I did what I was supposed to do. And so that really affected my self-esteem during that time, until I found another school to go to, which I went to Academy of Art University, and that's based in San Francisco. So at the right in between my going to a trade school, in a sense, I guess, no, community college, right when I went to community college, I fell into acting, stumbled into it. I went... It's crazy. I stumbled into all the things that I do, like literally. My brother, he pursued acting before me and very passionate about it. It took him like years to convince my mom about acting, because she was like, uh-uh. So he had to prove it, and he had an audition, so I went with him.
Okay.
He had at the time really, really long hair. So they thought he was a girl. And my mom was like, no, he just has long hair. Like, his hair was down to his butt. Like, that's how long my brother's hair was. So she was like, but I have a daughter. And I was like, Mom, I am not auditioning. I'm going to be a famous painter. I am not no actress. This is not what I'm doing. And so she said, just try it. You never know. And come to find out, she coached me through it and I booked the lead role.
Wait, and your mom was against this first.
She was. Because she comes from the entertainment industry, from the music side, and she knows how it is. So she was like, I don't want my kids doing this. If you want to do it, you have to want to do it. I'm not forcing you. And I don't want you to start and stop. I want you to know what you're getting into. And I want you to make sure that you want to do this, which I was grateful for that perspective. Because I know a lot of parents just throw their kids into it, not knowing what it entails and the work behind it. And so I booked the role and then I took time to study the craft. Yeah, it blew my mind. I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know this. What is this world? And so I studied and fell in love with acting. And I've been doing it ever since. And so I've been doing it for about 10 years now. I've been painting for about 12 or 13 years. And in between that, I dropped college to pursue acting full time.
Of course, yeah.
And so I said, I'm just going to go in and do this because at the time I was studying advertisement, graphic design. That took up so much time. And doing it online was a lot of work. And so I was missing auditions. I was missing opportunities. And so I said, I have to make a choice. So I decided to do acting. And I still painted in between. Yeah. But then in between all of that, I was like, I need another outlet. I don't know what made me want to have another outlet on top of the two things that are very demanding. I was like, I want to start blogging. What is this blogging world? I'm going to get into it.
Okay.
And so I started blogging about things that I loved, and it was called Parts of Me. And in 2016, it transitioned to Purposely You, because I sat with myself and said, what do you stand for? Who are you? And at the time when I developed so much from my early 20s into that point, I really started to understand who I was as a person. And so I said, oh, yeah, Purposely You. That just stuck with me. And so there we go.
So you didn't have enough things to do.
Right, I didn't have enough.
Thank you for sharing that. When I read the title, Purposely You, I thought, well, what does that mean at first? How does one become purposely you, purposely oneself? What has been your experience of that? Because it sounds like, career-wise, obviously that's one thing. And then there's the other side, like our self, our growth, our learning, our becoming, aside from career, because we're not just what we do, right? We just are. So what has been your experience of that journey, that transformation? What does that mean to be purposely you?
Well, it's painful. It's a lot of unpacking past situations. It's unpacking our childhood. It's unpacking society. Within society, there's so many trends to be a part of. And then those trends kind of set the standard of how we see ourselves. And a lot of times we try to force ourselves into trends that are not us, that do not serve us, that do not serve us spiritually nor physically. And so it tends to take us out of alignment within self. And to get to understanding who you truly are, it means this constant journey of unpacking, this constant journey of seeing self, being kind to yourself, being gentle to yourself, giving yourself grace, being patient, positive affirmations, doing things that you really love, just exploring and to really get a sense of who you are. And I just wrote something this morning in my journal that it was very profound to me when I heard it. I was like, you never really get to an end point of knowing who you are. There's only beginnings. Every level is a new elevation of a new beginning of self-discovery of who you are. And with Purposely You, it just means to be yourself in every situation, every level and version of who you are. Be you, live in that, bask in that, feel that light, that love. And that's what helps keep you afloat when the energies of the world that we are facing this day that can be so heavy, that can be so daunting, it gives you a sense of freedom because you now have placed all your approval and your acceptance within yourself. Mm-hmm. Now you are free to be, to shine your light, to help someone else, mm-hmm. and just live in that.
It is interesting, though, to me that when we do that, when we set out on this journey of becoming and unpacking everything, as you said, there is no end. And there's always, like, with every new thing, with every new realization, with every new growth level, then there's another thing that, like, you discover. There's like, oh, or sometimes, like, you go through the same thing again and you're like, I thought I had dealt with this. I thought I have this down, but apparently I don't. I have to do it again.
There is. Every time I get to a different discovery of self, I'm like, wait, I thought I dealt with this already. Or I'm like, whoa, I said, mm-hmm. It's like, sometimes you feel like you're not catching a break, mm-hmm. but then I have to remember to slow down and just live and to just mm-hmm. be. And that's why I breathe. I do breathing techniques. That's something that I'm into now mm-hmm. that really is so mm-hmm. helpful. Oh my gosh. Like, who knew breathing would de-stress you? Like, taking a moment.
I know, breathing is something so normal, so natural, right? But yes. I read somewhere that none of us actually really breathe right, like in the right way. We don't know how to properly breathe. And you're like, what? I do it all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. I saw that too, and I was just like, wow, that's so interesting. Like, I've been really, the older I become, the more I focus on my internal needs, yeah. About being super mindful of what I eat, being super mindful mm-hmm. of the type of conversations I have, who I associate myself with, what I'm reading. And I would say what I'm watching, but it's kind of hard when you're an actress because you have to watch and know and be aware of different things. Mm-hmm. But I make sure that I detox. Like, it's important to detox. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, now I will admit this, I've been desiring to be out in nature, but the thing is, I don't like bugs. Like, I don't like bugs.
I'm with you. I would love to hear a bit more about, you said before that everything you've done, you've kind of stumbled into it, it just came to you, right? How much do you think does intuition come into that? And like your gut feeling, how has that been for you? Like, with stumbling into these things or them like just coming into your life, how much has your intuition played into that and like trusting that?
It plays a lot into it. I definitely check in with self before I even pursue anything, even if it presents mm-hmm. itself. To make sure that, one, this is something that I'm ready for and mm-hmm. that this is something that I can keep up with. Mm-hmm. So I definitely pay attention to my intuition to a lot of situations mm-hmm. I'm big on that. I've always been, even when I was a little girl, I was big on, I was just very in tune. I'm telling you, I was not the average teenager. I was a very in tune person. Like, I'm having conversations with adults. Like, I'm like, adults have been my friends. Like, I'm just like, so guys, what about life? What do you want to, like, what do you want to do now that you're done with this opportunity? Like, that was me. Mm-hmm. I've always been this very curious person about mm-hmm. life and how to live it and how it works. Mm-hmm. And so my intuition definitely has been a guide for me in mm-hmm. all that I do. Even with Purposely You or even with taking breaks. Sometimes I like, mm-hmm. I just need a break. I just need to be with self and not worry about anything else. And sometimes I have to force myself because I am a busy body. I love working, but mm-hmm. I have to remind myself that it's important to regather, regroup, and reinforce some views and perspectives, especially if I feel bombarded. Yeah. Or if things feel chaotic, I'm like, I have to listen to that intuition mm-hmm. and say, okay, no, it's time to stop.
Thank you. You've done what you do for so long now, you know, the art, painting and being an actress. Have you had moments of failure or where you felt like a failure maybe, you know, you've had losses on the way, or moments, have you had moments just simply where you wanted to give up, where you thought this is not it? How have you dealt with them personally? What's your recipe?
Ooh, honestly, I don't even think there is a recipe, because okay. every opportunity and situation requires for you to have a different reaction. And so with each one that I face, I know it requires a different either version of myself or a different perspective of what I'm supposed to have. And with one thing I will say about acting teaches you patience, and you are going to, it may look as failures, but it took me a long time not to see them as failures, yeah. but it from the very beginning, it does appear as failures, but they're not. Many actors will tell you, you will hear 1,000 no's before you hear that yes. And although I got my yes when I first tried, but when I took the time to really dive in deeper into the craft mm-hmm. and to learn the art of it, mm-hmm. and I started auditioning again, it was this thing of like, I would get a role, and then the night before they say, yeah, we gave it to somebody else. That happened to really? Me for, oh, for real. Yes.
That happens too.
Yes, it happened. So that wow. happened to me about 6 times in my acting career that has happened to me. And oh, that hurts. You're yeah. like, oh, I booked. Oh, I'm excited. And then you get that phone call. Yeah, we're going to go with someone else. I'm like,
how dare.
Oh my God. Like, God. Really? And then, but I've also been on the opposite side of that, where I was the person who took someone else's position. Mm-hmm. The production let go of one person. They say, well, we want you. And I'm just like, it's this weird thing of where you always have to say, it's not you, it's just how it goes. And it sucks. It does. But it's not failures. It teaches you to be strong. It teaches you to be, you know, to have tough skin, to just honestly to fall in love with the art of it rather than seeing the business of it. But acting, yeah, there was a lot of mistakes. There was a lot of failures. There's a lot of, you know, learning curves. I'm still learning. Even to this day, like, there's so many actors who've had to take breaks from acting, then come back to reinvent themselves. And I feel like I'm at that point in my career. Being honest, I haven't booked in 2 years. I'm auditioning, but I haven't booked. But that's teaching me to keep going, to keep evolving, to keep studying. I recently cut my hair, so I was like, you know, just do a new thing. And so that's where I'm on. And I'm not trying to, I always tell myself, it's not a failure. You're growing, you're evolving. And so that's kind of how it is. It teaches us something.
Yeah. But have you ever wanted to completely give it up?
Oh, yes.
And why did you keep going then? How do you remind yourself, this is it though, this is my purpose?
I've thought about it so many times of quitting. But every time I think about quitting, something sparks that love. Something comes through to remind me of how much I love acting. Like, I love it. I love it so much. It's like such a freedom. It helped me find my voice. So I have a personal connection with acting that that maybe the other person may not have. Like, it taught me to be vocal. It taught me my voice is important. It taught me to speak up. It taught me to be free. And so there's a certain therapy that I get from acting.
Yeah. When you say it gave you your voice, it helped you find your voice. I'm so interested in this, because I have a few friends who act as well, and I'm always like, I could never do it. Like, it's so scary, and I'm definitely not that person. But how do you go from like being a quiet, shy person to suddenly be like, take one, let's go, like on camera? How does that happen? When you got that first role, was it like you were on, or was that a process?
That was a process. That first role, I'm like, I hope nobody see that movie. I'm like, please don't go. I'm not even going to talk about what movie it was. I'm like, don't watch it. No, it was terrible. I was so like, mm-hmm. I was still that quiet girl when I booked that role. Like I was mm-hmm. extremely quiet and shy. I didn't understand acting at all. I felt mm-hmm. bombarded. I like memorize mm-hmm. lines. What is this world? Like I got to memorize lines. Because the thing is, I was terrible in school. Mm-hmm. I honestly had to take certain classes because I struggled with comprehension. I struggled with reading. I struggled with writing, surprisingly. I struggled with all these things. So I was really mm-hmm. terrible at school. Like to pass, to make a C, mm-hmm. it took every mm-hmm. ounce of me to get that C. It was hard. I was not a student. Like I just wasn't, that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So it took time to develop my voice. What helped me discover my voice was acting classes. Because when you're taking acting classes, there is no being shy. You are thrown in the midst of the wolves.
Right. Yeah.
And you just got to go. And so, mm-hmm. and you're, there's, everyone's watching you. So everyone's like, let me see you do what you do. And I'm just like, whoa, all these eyes on me. So you had to learn how to just be strong in that. Mm-hmm. And so from that, and then the self-growth work that I was doing on my own, mm-hmm. the combination really helped me just say, I got this. Now I will say, most actors are shy. Like my brother's an actor, but he's shy.
Oh, really?
He's shy. He's very shy. Like he's a very easygoing person in terms of like mm. having conversations with him, but he's still shy. Mm. I'm on the other hand, I'm like, let's talk. Like, let's have a conversation.
You don't seem very shy, to be honest.
It took a lot because I was always worried about how people were going to perceive me. And mm. that's what made me be quiet. And then once mm. I realized I validate who I am, no matter what anyone thinks of me, I was like, oh, this is free game. I'm like, what y'all want to talk about?
Incredible. That is so interesting. There was obviously a spark there that you had to follow, because otherwise yes. you would have said, nah, this is not worth it. I want to be the shy self that I am. Like, but there was obviously something that was pulling you towards it, right?
Mm-hmm. There was.
Do you think that thing is purpose? Do you believe everyone has like one purpose in life, or how do you define purpose?
I do believe everyone has a purpose. I believe that there's different purposes, and I just yes. came to this discovery. I believe that there's different purposes. There's the main human purpose is to live life and to experience life. And then there's other purposes along the way that you discover of what to do, what you're going on. But mm-hmm. like you were saying, I agree with you 100%. What we do is not the purpose. It's mm-hmm. the purpose is so internal and mm-hmm. it's like it comes out, you'll see it, you know. I feel like we have callings and we are on assignments because you might be at the right place at the right time mm-hmm. to talk to yes. this person that saves their life, that helps them, that transforms them. Mm. And so I believe there's different purposes for one particular person's life. And it's just a thing of figuring it out. Their seasons of life, like the me now is not the me at 25, is not the me at 20. And I won't be the me when I'm 30, which is right around the corner. And I'm just like,
when's your birthday?
It's August 13th. And I'm just like,
mine is August 14th.
Are you serious? Hey, Leo sisters.
Yes.
the me now is processing, wow, you're becoming older, you're becoming, you know, wiser. What do you really want? Like lately, my biggest question to self is that, what do you want out of life? Mm-hmm. You know, like it always changes and evolves. You have to readjust to your body because your body starts changing. You have to readjust to life because life's changing. Society sees you different. Mm-hmm. You know, your friendships may change. Your career may change. It's so many changes that happen in a person's life that now I'm like living from season to season. Okay, what season am I in? How do I need to process now and get ready for the next season?
Yeah, absolutely true. I totally agree. Because yeah, there's people who like, you know, they just like throw things out there like, oh, you know, you have to find your purpose or your calling. But I don't think there's just one, you know, in
it's
life.
Not.
And I don't think it's like a lost key. You have to go and find it now. I think, yeah, it just shows itself while you're doing things, right? I think
it does.
And it definitely changes. Absolutely, it changes. And
it does. Like, as long as you stay focused on self, you are the foundation of a purpose. Mm-hmm. You're the foundation of where you're going. Once you just center in and pay attention to you, those things will find you. Mm-hmm. And it would just literally show up at your door. And that's how you know it's for you. We do too much seeking outside of ourselves and not looking inside. That's where all the answers are. Mm. It's so simple. But as humans, we make things so complicated, but it's real simple. It's simple, but it's also society. Oh, I could talk for days about, I could break some stuff down. Like society society has a big part on how we see ourselves as even on the human experience. There's this whole thing about, like, there's so much division. And in reality, we all are humans. We're just here experiencing experiencing life. And there would be so much, the world would be so different if we stopped looking at each other with so many differences and start looking at it like, wow, I can learn from you. What? Tell me about yourself. I'm curious, like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I respect that. Respect for one another. Like, just having that love and understanding for, you know, humanity. Like, and not talk about, like, well, I got this, or what you got. Like, I can't stand that. It's like, because that's not important. Mm-hmm. I'm like, guys, it's about, like, having conversation. It's about building and growing. And I recently discovered that there's a huge difference between life and society. And I'm dropping all the stuff that I didn't even write about this yet, but I've realized that there is a difference between life and society. Life is gratitude, and sometimes society is greed. Society builds up this mindset of greed, and we want more. We're like trying to get to a certain particular goal that sometimes isn't obtainable. Not that it's not obtainable, but it pulls so much on the outside that we don't focus on the inside. And life grants us the gratitude to appreciate the inside out, working inside out rather than outside in. Because from a society standpoint, you can get to the highest level you possibly can, but on the inside, you feel terrible.
You know?
And I've seen that. And I took purposely on so personally because I was seeing it in the world of acting. I was seeing these people, like these actors, my peers, you know, go for this certain goal and get there and still feel a certain way about themselves.
Yeah, because you're the foundation of everything you do. So if the foundation's not healthy, if anything you do, like, it won't fix it.
Exactly.
So you have to do that internal work. But that's like the harder part. So that's why people avoid it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I want to avoid it. I'm not going to be honest. This is not like a peaceful road. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll deal with that later. But in reality, I'll keep seeing the same cycle, the same situation. Like, it'll keep finding me because I haven't dealt with it yet. And, you know, one thing I learned recently is that you think, like you said, you think you've overcome something, but comes to find out it shows up again, but in a different way. I'm like, whoa, you just revealed something else about this issue. And I'm just like, I thought that was all the way gone. And then it's like, no, a new part of it came out. And I'm just like, okay, how do I process this? How should I see this? You know, I'm just like, you got to keep discovering.
Yeah. Again, it's a never ending journey. And it's really, really beautiful. It's a hard one, but a beautiful one to be on.
It is. It truly is.
Talking about going back to failures, although we said we don't want to see it as failure, right? But as lessons and as growth, how does someone in your opinion, like, if they are on the verge of giving up, you know, and you've been doing something for years and forever, and it feels like nothing is coming back to you, everything's coming back empty, how did you stay the course? How did you do it?
Oh, I trusted. And there are times that, no, like, I promise you, there's some days I'm just like, I'm done. I'm like, I love talking to my family. I'm like, y'all, I'm like, it's time for us to have a conversation, because I'm done. I'm gonna give up. And then they're like, no, but you love it. I'm like, I know, but I'm just tired. Cause I've been working at this and this. And you keep having these conversations. But then deep down inside, I'll have my quiet moments of regrouping. I do take moments of stillness where I'm just quiet. I don't say nothing. Okay. I just breathe. And what I focus on is what's real. I'm like, this is may sound crazy, but I focus on, like, I'll look outside and I'll focus on the trees. I'll look at flowers. I'll look at birds. I'll go listen to them. I'll go watch them. I'll go watch real animals living life. And I'm like learning so many lessons because I'm like, they just run around being them, being designed the way that they're designed, living their squirrel life, bird life, you know, whatever life they got, and just there. And I'm just like, okay. And then I'll hear it and feel it in my spirit. And I'm just like, no, you need to keep going. You got to keep going. You have to keep going. It's for a reason. Like, you'll just feel so connected to it internally that you're like, I have to keep going. Regardless of what I'm physically seeing, there's something still happening. There's something still, I'm still needed for a reason within this. It's not done yet. And it will reveal itself. Now, some things, like, you just like, oh, let me just put this away. But then there's some things that you know deep down inside that are calling you. You're just supposed to learn more. You're supposed to be patient. You're supposed to keep going at it. Because over time, it will reveal itself. It may not make sense now, but later it will make all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, all of it. Yeah. Even with me being bullied, it taught me something. I didn't realize it until I got older. I was like, why was I bullied? Why me? Why me? And then I'm like, when I got older, I don't condone it. I honestly dislike it in so many levels. And I'm the one to stand up for people all the time when I see it. But I'm like, it taught me so much of, I would not be the person that I am today if I didn't go through it though. That's the thing. I have to find the good in everything to keep
going. That's the only way to do life, honestly. It may sound like cliche, it may sound, but you have to find the good in everything. And that doesn't mean that you can't feel bad about things. It doesn't mean that you cannot complain or that you have to, like, think positive all the time. Of course you can say, this sucks, like, this situation is terrible. However, you have to find that jewel, that good thing in there. And take that and go with that. Because otherwise, there's no other way to live, like, happily. Like, you'll just be miserable all the time. If you don't focus on that, on those good things and on those good lessons, right?
Absolutely.
I read this quote, or, like, not short story. It was, like, a quote the other day where it was, like, you can look at a rose bush and you can say, oh, what a shame that this beautiful rose bush has, like, thorns on it. Or you can look at it and say, how amazing that this thorn bush has roses on it. Right? Like, it's just what you focus on, really.
Yeah, perspective.
Yeah, and sometimes you're being prepared for something because you're not ready yet, and things are happening behind the scenes that you don't know of.
Absolutely.
It will come when you're ready. I saw on Instagram that you posted you had sold a painting, first after, like, how many years?
About 12 years. My after first 12. Painting. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was so, like, it's so amazing to, like, because honestly, another thing, painting is my therapy. I feel, people always tell me, they're like, no, your stuff needs to be in museums. And then I'm like, I believe it. I believe that and receive that. I want the same thing. But I don't put the pressure on it. Like, I paint when I want to and I post about it. If someone wants to buy it, cool. I mean, my prices are my prices because it takes forever to paint them and the experience that I have. But I just use it as a way of, like, clearing my mind. It's just, that's, like, about the only time when I naturally am not thinking. And every other time I have to force myself not to think. I'm like, okay, you got to take a moment. But, like, that's the only thing that's, like, naturally I'm just not thinking about anything and I'm so focused. And it's a moment of, like, appreciation, I feel so connected, and it really gives me like a sense of I'm resetting myself and ready for the next thing.
I have the same thing when I draw. I don't think while I do it. And isn't it beautiful to have activities where you don't think, where you literally just in that moment? I feel like nowadays we have very few of those activities, because whatever I'm doing, I'm also at the same time thinking of something. And that's like one of the few activities where I'm just there and like in the moment.
Yes. It almost requires it. It's like the art is like you can't think about anything. I need you to focus. Like art requires you to focus and to be present and in the moment of like, what's the next line? What's the next step? Where do you want to go? How do you want to paint this? It's just like, and just having that freedom, it requires you to be free. Because I know when I'm thinking, if I'm overthinking, I'm messing up on my art and then I have to throw it away. And then I'm starting over and I'm just like, you got to stay
so
clear.
Right. Yeah, you're so right. That overthinking doesn't go well with creating art. It just doesn't go well. And also, I feel like we are used to, in like our generation is so used to that entrepreneur mindset that anything that you enjoy, now you have to make it into a business. Now you have to monetize it. Now you have to, it has to work out. Like you have to have a plan and a strategy and it has to become something else, right. You know? And it's also nice to, well, maybe not. Just chill and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yes.
And not always, not everything needs to be made into a business. But I feel like that's kind of the message around us a little bit.
It is. And how things are, times are changing, the way careers are shifting, how to obtain a career shifting. And you're constantly like, I have to keep up with the times. So but there's got to be something that you can have for yourself where it's just like, it is what it is without pressure. If someone wants to buy it, they buy it. If someone doesn't, keep moving on. I'm not pressuring no one. It's just like, this is, I do this for me. And if you happen to like what I do for me, okay, cool. You know, but this is for me.
Exactly. Totally agree. Raquel, for 2021, what are you excited about this year? Do you have any plans, any projects? What's coming up for you, or what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to being free within myself. That's what I'm looking forward to. Honestly, I every year I usually set like a work goal. I want to be on this set, or I want to work with this actor, and I want to get this many auditions in, or I want to write every day for Purposely You, or post 3 times a week. And I make these goals and then I'm like, but it just doesn't feel natural to who I am and how I work and how I process. So I want to finally this year accept that within myself, accept who I am and how I process life, and to grant myself that space, because I do not do well under pressure, and I do not do well when I'm bombarded with so many things, although I put so much on my plate. And so I try to put that pressure on myself to write 3 blog posts. Although I literally have over 200 blog titles that I could write to, it's still that's a process, because I want it to be organic. I want it to be natural. And I never talk about something that I haven't experienced or overcome myself. I don't like giving advice when I haven't gone through it. I just, it feels wrong. And so this year, my goal and what I'm looking forward to is being free and accepting Raquel John for who she is.
I love that answer so much. Like, go again, you like went internal again instead of external. I love that so much.
Thank you.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for this whole conversation and just for opening up, you know, your world and your story to us and your perspective. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. You are awesome. Like, I'm like, we're just vibing. I'm like, we can do this again.
You're listening to Flow Insider, a podcast for creative entrepreneurs who want a fresh perspective on business, communication, and art.